All right, so here we are. I just, started publishing it at the half an hour, going live with Jeff. My schedule has changed, therefore, this is the earliest I can get here. Therefore, I will try to record or pre-record the meditation. And just wanted to jump in and say a few words. This is the guided meditation on Wednesday morning, 1500 UTC. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about reincarnation. That was the subject a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to re-listen to that show, it's still in the archive, archive.anonradio.net. So you're welcome to check it out. In short, I don't know if reincarnation is true until I'll experience it for myself. It's a concept that is written about, talked about quite a lot in Hinduism, as well as in Buddhism and different other religion, not much the Abrahamic religions, but it's definitely an idea that is floating around, and it's a little more than conceptual or a figure of style or a symbolic teaching. Some of the sacred texts are more symbolic, where you would take this idea of reincarnation and use it to your day-to-day life. But in Buddhism and Hinduism, there's a lot of literature about how in between death and rebirth, there is a phase called the bardo, and that you can navigate through that. Now, what gets me to understand more about reincarnation, it's my research that I done in out-of-body experience with Robert Monroe. I invite you to go check out some of his interview, the later interview. I'm not sure I have that. If I have, nope. No recorded interview. I probably should play that sometimes. I invite you to check out on YouTube, or hopefully not on YouTube, but sorry, YouTube is so omnipresent. The Monroe Institute and the latest interview with Robert Monroe. They're very they're very out there. They're very funny, in a sense that Robert Monroe was not a spiritual, he's not like a new age spiritual dude, he's radio technician dude. So the way he approaches out of body experience, it's really not in this kind of spiritual woo-woo type of, oh, this is the path to enlightenment. But sorry, but at the same time, he does touch on all of these points of karma and enlightenment and reincarnation through his own experience of out-of-body experience. Now, I was following some teachings in Vancouver, and the teacher was saying how, unfortunately, Robert Monroe was naturally able to come out of his body, so that his teaching suffered a little bit from that. If somebody always been able to get out of his body, how can, it becomes harder for them to teach it. So there's a bit of a gap there that makes it a little harder to to follow the teaching. I've read his book and I've looked at a technique there, and they're a little bit like, well, you do this and you visualize that and boom, you're out of your body and that's the end of the story. But yeah, I invite you to check out some of his interview, later interview in his life. And it goes in very strange world and strange reality. It's actually quite entertaining. Is it true or I don't know. It's a question of experience, trying things out. So my point here is... by having an experience in out-of-body experience, it might hint toward what it could be to reincarnate. And the out-of-body experience has quite a different feel than when you're in a dream, for example, or when you're awake. And from my understanding, from my own practice, the out-of-body experience is a lot more, it happens a lot more than we think. When I realized what an out-of-body experience was, I remembered that it happened often in my life. So... there's just this feeling, this a different sensation. So how do we meditate in order to go toward the out-of-body experience, therefore practicing reincarnation? In the Tibetan dream yoga, the idea is every night you fall asleep, and that is your practice to one day die. And so we have all our life to practice dying, because every night it's a little like dying. And they use the same word of bardo, these transition between waking and sleeping, as the transition between life. So the idea is every night when you go to sleep, you try to hold that awareness. And by holding awareness as you fall asleep and you come into the dream world, you are able to sustain that presence and observing all that is happening. One major practice to observe this is what is called yoga nidra. So yoga nidra is the sleep of the yogi. And by practicing this regularly, you become more aware of your day and your night. And I know that it might sound a little boring that awareness is always the foundation to everything. It's like, I know that some students they're like, oh, well, aren't there anything more powerful and magical to practice in order to get there? I'm like, no, unfortunately, awareness. And to this extent, awareness is what should be kept in the event of reincarnation. So that if you are able to hold awareness, then you can decide if you reincarnate or not. So that at the moment of our death, we often, I have no fucking idea, but it feels like when you die, you have a hard time to keep aware. Let's put it like that. It does feel like an event like that might make you like, oh shit, I'm dying, I'm dead. And now I lost my awareness. So I can agree with that, dying might distract you a little bit. So, yeah, the idea is that the process would be that when you're dying, you you keep on being aware. So how do you do that? You practice every night and you stay aware as you're falling asleep. How can you be aware of falling asleep if you cannot stay aware during the day? And that's a saying, a Tibetan yoga saying, if you're not aware during your day, how can you be aware during your dreams? If you're not aware during your dreams, how could you be aware when you're falling asleep? And if you're not falling asleep, how can you be aware at the moment of your death and in the bardo? So it all starts with being aware now. What does it mean to be aware? That's also something to think about. What does it mean to be aware? Yeah, that's always a good question. What is awareness? What is when you're not aware? I think it's easier to say, you know, when you're not aware, this is what's happening. And and yeah, so what is a moment of awareness? It's hard to define, really, as the mind will often go in this automatic state. And even if you're chanting mantra or doing yoga, it doesn't mean that you're aware. So, yeah, let's do a quick meditation. How much time? We have 20 minutes. Let's see if we can do a quick meditation. So in order to be aware in your dream, one thing you do is you look at your hands. So by looking at your hands, that you can look at your hands, and we have NHHH, that is aware of the lack of caffeine. Yeah, that happens. I had a very good coffee this morning myself. So yeah, the awareness, it's a weird word. We should have a different word for that. There's few words like that that kind of stop the progress of meditation if people are misunderstanding or misusing the word aware and be like, of course I'm aware. Everybody's aware. Like, how could we live your life without being aware? Mindful? I don't like, yeah, mindful. Mindful, it feels like you're full of your mind. from a French speaker perspective, mindful feels not as, I would say mindless, but then mindless is derogative. Aware, mindful, present. It's hard to explain what is that state, because it's very subtle between just doing what you always do to stop and observe and being in a moment. And that mindfulness, that awareness, that presence keep on changing as you observe the process of the mind, the automation of your mind. And then you realize that the awareness you had at first was just one layer of automation that's happening. And by removing these layers of automation, this awareness becomes kind of a deeper state of kind of meditation. So yeah, it's a state of the mind. And that state of the mind, it's not polluted or, well, somebody's commenting that awareness as opposed as a flow state. And you could argue that being very aware, you can be in a flow state. I wouldn't call, if I play music with friends and I become completely entranced with the music, I feel that this is a higher state of awareness. I become hyper aware. I become hyper connected to what I do. So I wouldn't put awareness against flow state. I would say awareness against this kind of automated life or illusioned life. But it's hard because the illusion is only as long as you don't believe it's an illusion, then it's not an illusion. Then once you're out of the illusion, then you realize it was an illusion, and that's the play of the illusion, is that it looks real. So, awareness. In the dream, it's very simple. You can dream, and then the dream just goes by, and then you can stop and realize, I am dreaming. And then you're like, well, now I'm aware in my dream. So this is kind of how it would happen in your day, how to be aware. When you're in a state of heightened awareness, you also see things coming to you in a different way. You're not reactive to an emotional turmoil. People don't trigger you the same way. You can see, oh, this person said this and I reacted like that. And that's a higher sense of awareness when you're I'm reading the chat at the same time and it's distracting a little bit. Awareness. It's something to define for yourself. Let's put it like that. Let's keep it simple. Okay, so how to be aware? Well, it's good to practice an awareness meditation that will serve you on multiple layers, not only in your waking life, but in your sleeping life. And I was not connecting to my normal meditation spot, which is, anyway. I'm in my office right now. So awareness, let's get back to that. So practicing a meditation that helps you being aware, not only in the day-to-day activity, but for your sleep and for your dreaming state. And therefore, it might also be used at the moment, maybe, of your death, where you might be able to be in control of what's happening after you die. Hopefully, we'll see. I'll let you know if I ever come back. And So first step in dream yoga or being aware, it's to look at your hands. So looking at your hands, it's a very simple practice. And it seems very silly, but brings you inside your body. So by looking at your hands, I like to look at the lines in my hands too, because I've been looking at them since a very young age, and I've always kind of been looking at the different lines and wondering why so many lines. I know when I was playing a lot of violin, some new lines kind of appeared in my hands. So if you look at your hands in daily life, it might bring you in your dreams to look at your hands. And so that physicality, coming back to the body, is super important in practicing awareness. Because we're in our head often, it's often hard to step back into the body. Looking at it would be your first step. And then the breath. Of course, the breath is always there. Interestingly enough, if you practice breathing in your dreams, it's as efficient as practicing breathing in daily life. In yoga, it's called pranayama. These are practices of breathing. And if you practice breathing in your dream or in any time, it's always working. So in dream state, you cannot do a lot of breathing or too fast of a breathing because it will awaken your body. So yeah, you can practice breathing in the dream state, but a bit more gently so the body doesn't get awakened. So first step, look at your hands. Second step is always good to take a few deep breaths. Being aware of the sensation. So there's a question, how do you remember to look at your hands? And it's just a practice to do so. So if you keep on doing it all the time, it becomes a habit. So it's not about remembering, but it's about creating habits. So there's a question about lucid dreaming, how to do lucid dreaming if you only dream every week or 3 weeks or so. The first step is to cultivate your dream world. In order to cultivate your dream world, it's to talk about it, it's to write about it, it's to read book about dreams, it's to practice awareness. Like this practice we're doing now, it will help with the dreaming. So Cake was asking that question. You have to create a fertile soil of dream in order to be lucid dreaming, meaning that you have to get to a point where you remember your dream, you know, every other day or a few times a week, and then it becomes easier to practice lucid dreaming. So, yeah, the dream practice starts with bringing awareness. And if you do think about your dreams and you look at your hands on a regular basis and you take a few deep breaths, right there, this is a very strong practice to get into your dreams after that and become aware. So the idea, instead of trying to remember to do that, it's just something that you want to create a habit of. Of course, the first few weeks, you have to keep on doing it. So yeah, there's a part that you need to remember. Anytime during the day. So that's why it's good to keep a very small meditation practice that you do ABC. Look at your hand, breathe, feel the body. And then you can, if you want to, repeat to yourself, I want to be aware in my dream. Somebody said that it's easier to be in a lucid dream if the sleep schedule is disturbed. And that is a technique actually in a Tibetan dream yoga that you sleep in a reclined position, somewhat half sitting. And therefore you awaken a few times in the night. And every part of the night will have a bit of a different quality to the dream. So if you sleep in smaller chunk, or if you get awakened in between your sleep state, you'll remember more your dream, but also you'll have more ease to the lucid dreaming. So, Spuos was asking how to remember. There's another way to remember is when you have bad habit. I have bad habits, personally. Unfortunately, I'm still struggling with different addictions and bad habits. If you have bad habit, and then you realize, oh no, I did this again, and then you feel bad, and then you do it again because you feel bad, and then you keep on doing it because you feel bad, and you feel like you're a bad person, therefore you should be doing bad thing, and it just, it's a cycle that just keep on going. It's a very simple explanation of addictions, and anyway, So if you have something that you don't like to do, like you're doing something and you're not happy about it, you watch TV and you're like, oh, I shouldn't be watching TV, or whatever, you know, you eat fast food and it's, oh, I shouldn't eat fast food. One awesome practice is anytime you do something you don't like, you would like to change, or that you feel addicted to, use that momentum to meditate for a few seconds. So let's say I often get angry in my head about something. I'm like, oh, is it gone? And then I know I should not do that because I get emotionally charged and therefore my day goes a little wrong. Now, instead of being angry at me being angry, a little brain loophole, mind loophole, whenever I get angry, I was like, oh, I'll meditate for a second. And then I look at my hand, I breathe, I feel the sensation of the breath, and I tell myself, this is a dream. Now I've transformed a bad habit into something to remember to do a practice. So these are a little hook that you can create in your life. So if there's things that come back to you, let's say you think about your ex, your ex-wife, and you're like, I don't want to think about my ex-wife. I'm like, all right. Then take that moment, take that idea, and reuse that potential, that addiction, that idea, and transform it into a practice. And that goes without saying that when you're interacting with people, this is the hardest time to be aware. Because when you interact with people, well, for me, a lot of thoughts are coming in. So if I talk to somebody, normally I classify that person. Is that person an ally or it's against me? Oh, this person is for me. Is it something that I'm attracted to or that I'm not attracted to? Oh, this person is attractive, actually. Is a person, you know, my boss or somebody that I boss around? And then we create this social environment that makes it really hard to stay aware whenever you're interacting with somebody. So interacting with people will be the hardest time to keep your awareness. Therefore, it's a very good practice to think about that. How do you do that? Well, if you're aware right now, and it's like, I'm going to go and meet somebody, observe if you can keep that awareness. Because when you're in a dream, that's also when often you will lose the awareness, is when you're interacting with people. And our emotional makeup and our shadow self, our past trauma and all that are all linked to relationship. You know, it's through our relationship that we get the hurts and the good and the bad. When we're by ourselves, I don't think there's a lot that would happen if you always by yourself, you know, starting from a young age or let's say you're always by yourself. There's not a lot of imprint. There's not a lot of trauma. There's not a lot of, you don't create all these monsters out of nowhere. It's often our relationship that created the trauma body, the shadow self, however you want to say it. And therefore, a human relationship is the hardest moment of staying aware. And when you're falling asleep, when you're falling in a dream state, when you're changing a state, it's also very hard to stay aware. So changes and meeting with people. So yeah, right now I've been talking for a few minutes. Your mind is probably going automatically on memories and ideas, and you know, we lost awareness during that time, and that's okay. It's really that's a normal state of what we do, is to lose awareness and then come back to it, then lose it and come back to it. Another practice is to count how many times you can gain awareness during the day. How do you count? Well, every time you gain awareness, you're like, oh, that's the first time. And then you're like, oh, that's the second time. Don't do it like 20 times in a row. It's like, oh, I'm aware. But see when you lose it and then when you come back to it. And then during the day, if you look at your hands...